You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. Of course, we are coming up on the 20th anniversary of the attacks of September 11th, 2001. The actual date is Saturday, but we will be marking it throughout the week this week. And I was telling you earlier about the Flight 93. A couple of National Guard pilots took off from D.C. in an effort to intercept it. We're going to talk to one of those pilots coming up, but let's listen to Dave Birkbeil. He is the person who was first on the scene with a video camera after Flight 93 crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
I just saw the smoke come up, and the explosion shook the house clear over here. They ran one into the Pentagon and into the World Trade Center, and we're watching it on TV, and this one happened.
And it crashed in Pennsylvania, but it might have crashed elsewhere. On a phone line now is Heather Penny, nicknamed Lucky. Lucky Penny, who went on to become an Air Force major. She's retired now. But on September 11, 2001, she was a pilot for the Washington National Guard. Major, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much, Steve. It's wonderful to be with you.
How did I do with those ranks and spots? That was all correct, right?
Good enough, yes.
Good enough. Well, let's get it right. What did I get wrong there?
Oh, no, you didn't. It's all good.
It's an amazing story, and I want to begin. So this is, you joined the National Guard out of D.C. in 1996. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it wasn't until 1993 that, I mean, we forget, but the women weren't allowed to fly in combat until 1993.
That's correct. So when I showed up to Purdue University, I thought I was going to enroll in ROTC and become a fighter pilot. But much to my surprise, girls were not allowed to be fighter pilots. So it wasn't until I was in graduate school that I learned that combat aviation had been open to women. And that's when I applied.
And so then let's fast forward from 1996 to 2001. Tell me about that morning, September 11th.
Well, I was still a very new wingman in my unit. I had just finished my F-16 qualification and became combat mission ready in March. And we had just returned from the Air Force's largest go-to-war exercise called Red Flag in Nevada. So that morning, on Tuesday morning, we really had a skeleton group because we had just returned. And most people of the squadron had taken leave or had gone back to their normal jobs because the guardsmen were citizen soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the middle of a staff meeting when we heard that the First Trade Center had been hit. But we didn't get any more information, and so we just thought it was maybe a light aircraft that really could not have done much damage. It wasn't until our enlisted troop, Dave Callahan, came back and said the second aircraft has hit the second World Trade Center, and it was on purpose.
Yeah.
And that was when we saw the footage that everyone else saw.
And, you know, it was interesting the way you described that, because I think we all saw the first one, and then we couldn't believe our eyes, and then before our very eyes, we saw the second one. I was standing next to a longtime broadcaster here, Orion Samuelson, in the newsroom, who also was a pilot, and we were standing side by side when the second flight went in, and I said, oh, that wasn't a small plane, was it? And he said, no. It was almost like our eyes were betraying ourselves, but then you got the order to go up.
We did, but the D.C. Air National Guard was not an alert unit. And a lot of people don't realize that when we train, we don't carry live weapons. And also, live weapons, you know, it's not like they're shrink-wrapped and ready to go. So when we got the word to get airborne, we did not have any missiles.
And so, but was it possible that you might have armed the jet, but it would have taken too long, or the armaments just weren't available?
Well, so we did not have weapons available.
Okay.
They were not built and loaded up on the jets when we got the authorization to launch. And if you'll remember that morning, I mean, we already got airborne way too late because the Pentagon had already been hit.
Yeah, and your commander ordered you up with him, correct?
Yes, Mark Sasseville. He was the director of operations at the time, the senior leadership in the squadron.
And when he finally got the word.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at you and he said, I'll take the cockpit. What did that mean to you?
What that meant was that SAS would ram his aircraft into the cockpit, and I would ram my jet into the tail.
And so you knew you were taking off, and that if you were to be successful, you were going to die.
Yes, if we were successful, we would not be coming home.
And tell me about your thought process there, because I know that you're trained, and yet there is this moment when you have to fly this aircraft knowing that if you succeed in your mission, you're going to be killed.
This was a December 7th moment. It was a Pearl Harbor moment for our nation. And I had raised my right hand and sworn an oath to protect and defend. And so when we got the call to launch, I knew what my mission, what my purpose was.
Your purpose?
Yes. If this is where I was at this moment in history, then this was what I was being called to do.
And did you think of all of the things that might not happen? I don't know that you have a family, but I know that you went on to the Air Force. I'm sure you've gone on to wonderful things. Did it occur to you, did it cross your mind, all of the things that weren't going to happen for you?
To be honest, no. There were so many other things that were on my mind, namely making sure that if everything that I did was right, because this moment mattered, and every moment after that mattered to protect and defend our nation. And I needed to do it right. We needed to do that right.
We should say
but
that
as you know, the passengers on Flight 93 took action before we were able to get there.
We're talking to Lucky Penny, Heather Penny, a retired major with the Air Force, about that very thing. She was with the National Guard out of D.C. and took off on September 11th to take out Flight 93. I was just going to bring up that, Major, that, of course, the passengers, one of the most famous from Wheaton, not too far from here, brought the aircraft down. How has that morning shaped your world since?
You know, when I think about 9/11, and I hope that when other Americans do, of course there's the trauma and the grief and the sadness, but I hope that we don't get caught in that horror and the sensationalism and the trauma, because the other things that we witnessed on that day are far more significant and far more revealing about the character of who we are as Americans. Because if you'll remember that day, and this is exemplified in the heroes of Flight 93, those passengers, that they made a decision. They realized that we as Americans, we are all connected to something that is greater than ourselves. And as different and as diverse and as, you know, sometimes frictionful and chaotic as it might be, we're all in this together. So they made the choice to sacrifice their lives for all of us.
Major Heather, Major Lucky Penny, we have to leave it there, I'm sorry to say, but I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate what you were prepared to do. I don't know how I would handle it. Well, I have an idea how I would handle it, and not nearly as bravely as you did. So thank you for that, Major.
Thank you. And you know what? Before I let you go,
sure.
They proved that anyone would have been willing to do this because they did. And so I just hope that as we reflect on 9/11, that we all remember our better angels.
Be well, Major. Thank you for spending your time with us.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
It's Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.